You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our next guest is a senior editorial director at Vox. He oversees the climate teams, also the Unexplainable and Gray Area podcasts. He's also the editor of Vox's Future Perfect section and writes the Good News newsletter. Brian Walsh is joining us. Good morning, Brian. Thanks so much for making time for us. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Brian, we saw this article that you did, and we talk a lot about this. We've talked about this off the air and about why we are so drawn as a human species to bad news. We are just, there is something within us that's what generates clicks. We have entire media ecosystems that are based on creating outrage, and it works. What is it about bad news that we love so much?
You know, I think what it is about bad news is that it starts with a few levels. One is inside us. You know, I think human beings, maybe you go all the way back in evolution here, we are almost trained to identify threats, identify bad things, because for a very long time, we lived in an environment where something bad could have very catastrophic consequences for you quite immediately. And so if you weren't pegged to that, if you weren't looking for that, you might not last very long. So you sure. have that to begin with. And then I think, you know, when it comes to the audience more on a whole, I think this has been something demonstrated. Like, you can literally see studies that say if you give people a headline that's positive, if you give people a headline that's negative, they are more likely to click on the negative. I think hitting into that physiological reaction almost. In fact, like, we really know that's the case. It activates us. And we see that in our social media. We see that in our media. And then the media itself, you know, responds to that, I think. For one thing, we do respond to what the audience does. And so if the audience is more likely to respond to bad news, that's something we're more likely to report to it. But also, it's something we're trained to do as well. Like, we are out there looking for what's going wrong in the world. In fact, yeah. if anything, that's a definition of news, it's what's going on in the world that's going badly. So put all that together and you have a self-reinforcing ecosystem that just emphasizes the negative and really especially ignores longer term under the radar positive trends, just because they're not changing much from day to day. So they're not really activating us, and we end up missing them because they're not getting reported on and they're not getting read about.
If you're just joining us, Brian Walsh is our guest. He's the senior editorial director for Vox.com. And we're just talking about what it is about humanity that we love bad news so much. We were joking before we came on the air, Brian, about if you go on vacation and you come back and you say, our vacation was perfect, that's the end of the story, you know, right? It's yeah. You want to tell the story about we couldn't find where to drop off the car, so we missed the ferry and we were 5 hours late, right? Those are the things that we share. Those are the things that make stories.
Exactly. I mean, like, think of it like airplane travel, right? I mean, it's not much of a story if you got in the airplane, it took off, it landed, you got there more or less on time.
Right.
It's a story if it goes bad, if it gets delayed, and it's obviously a horrible story if something goes wrong. Of course, that's a great example of something that has improved quite a lot. Maybe not necessarily the getting there on time part, but definitely the safety part. I mean, air travel is so much, much more safer than it used to be a few decades ago. But again, that's not something we really think about.
Right.
We just sort of notice when it's going wrong. We notice when it's going catastrophically wrong, but we don't notice the day in, day out. Hey, wow, I can get in a plane and travel across the country in the same day and be totally fine.
I also feel like that type of situation is also connective tissue for people, because if I'm sitting at a coffee table with you, Brian, and I say I had a terrible flight, then you can say, oh my God, me too. And then all of a sudden it's a 45-minute conversation on how flights are, how our flights were terrible, how things mm-hmm. have changed, how everything is bad, and I remember the old days. And like that, but if I, and as you said, if I just said, oh, I went to Toronto last week. The flight was good. Toronto is beautiful. Had some poutine, had some sushi, right. Came home. Then it's like 45 minutes of silence. Cause like, what are we going to talk about next? And do you feel like that translates to the news because that's who we are as people, or is the news or how we gather information from, say, whether it's traditional news sources or from online, it has influenced us and in how we communicate with each other?
Well, first of all, I hope you had the poutine and the sushi in separate meals.
Although I don't know. Don't tell me what how to live my life, Brian.
I would not dare to tell anyone in Wisconsin or Canada how to shoot the poutine. But I think, you know, I do think there's an element here where, well, you identified something which is commiseration. And that is definitely true that we human beings, like, we like to sort of reinforce each other's negative stories. In fact, in some ways, that's probably like a social bonding thing.
Yes.
I'm from Philadelphia, and so I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. We have an amazing ability to, even when things are good and you're winning, to find many, many, many terrible things about that. I'm sure other sports fans have the same experience, but we're just particularly known for it. But I also think when it comes to the sort of media ecosystem we're talking about, new kinds of media, social media especially, that's really has a negative inflection. And that's because I think you have a really tight feedback between people who are putting out stuff, seeing what the reaction is, and then shaping themselves to fit it.
Yes.
You know, other media companies like myself, like Vox, others, you know, we sort of learn from that to a certain extent. But really in social media, you see it, you know, you get the feedback right away, and there's an easy way to sort of get people's attention by either saying something is awful or going after someone. And it just, even though like no one likes actually being in that negative mindset, I think it's not a pleasant one. For some reason, it's something we can't seem to break out of, in part because we get a lot of reinforcement on the side that it's actually working.
Right, exactly. So if I'm a social media influencer and I come out with a negative story and that generates a whole bunch of clicks for me, I'm going to give you more of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And you will see that and you will benefit from it, and it will just keep going and going. And the problem is then it becomes almost like a downward spiral race, mm-hmm. to the bottom in terms of who can have the more negative attitude towards something, who can be nastier online. And next thing you know, you basically have the social media ecosystem that we all, you know, love and enjoy today.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's also another component to that, that it's not new, but it's so much more, I don't know what the exact word to use would be, but it's not just about reading the news story or watching the video, but now I, Joe, everybody can throw my comment into the vacuum that mm-hmm. is this video, this social media platform. And, you know, we don't want to just throw those comments in for the moment. We want people to click like the comment. We want people to say you're wrong, so I can say, well, you're stupid. And it doesn't help any. It never helps the conversation.
Let me tell you. It's a circular argument.
Yeah. And so like it just feeds more and more to this thing of like, and of course, Brian, I'm right. Of course, my comments are right. You talk about Phil, the Eagles, Milwaukee Brewers fans are very good at looking at the bestest situations and saying, how will we mess this up? And all of my opinions are right. But I think that's another aspect too. It's not just the negative news story, or as you put in the article, the bias towards negative news stories, mm-hmm. but it's the fact that now we can become our own little pundits and reinforce that and keep that inner rage going. And I ask the question to all of you, any listeners, to Brian, to Jane, to Calvin, what does that help us as a people, as a human, when we do things like that? I don't think it's much, but it's where we're at.
Yeah, I don't think it helps much at all, really. I mean, it doesn't help in the sense of, let's say you actually want to change something for the better. I think there is a general sense, oh, you know, I have to highlight how bad things are before that can really make that change. And yeah, that's necessary to a certain extent, but especially when you're dealing with, say, really long-term difficult problems, something like climate change, for instance, there's exhaustion that can set in with that kind of relentless negativity or, you know, doom mongering that actually, I think, works against the idea of bringing people together to create positive change over the longer term. And so you end up with a situation where you're complaining about everything. It's not getting better because you've actually created an environment where you make it hard for positive change to happen. And then things keep getting worse. And in some ways, your expectations are met. But the problem is you still are in a world where we could be making better change, and yet we hold ourselves back because we literally can't even recognize when good things are happening.
Yeah. And I think the other problem too is that, like, if I'm sitting in, and what you just said too is if I sit down and I look at your comments, like you, Brian Walsh, commenting negative things, if that's what you're doing, if I say, well, here are some great programs you can do, most likely you're going to say to me, well, that's not going to work. It's not going to create a situation, as you said, Jane, a circular conversation where if I try to give you, here are some great options, here are people you can call, here's a news story that might give you a different side of it. Most likely when you go that deep in, you're not looking for answers or a conversation. You're just looking for people to
make your point
mm-hmm. for people to directly criticize you or to directly agree with you. That's how you exist. It's not about, and that's why when people ask they'll ask questions of, well, what do you think of this topic? I say, are you really interested in an answer or do you just want to argue with me? Because if you just want to argue, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this. But if you want to have a conversation, that's great. But I find that a lot of people just don't even want the conversation because climate change, way too nuanced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, our guest is Brian Walsh. He's the senior editorial director at Vox. He oversees the climate teams, also is the editor of Vox's Future Perfect section, and Brian writes the Good News newsletter. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But right now we are talking about what it is about bad news that we seem to love so much. Mm-hmm. And we've seen entire media ecosystems based mm-hmm. on outrage and continuing the outrage and feeding us the outrage, and we seem to like it.
Yes.
To our own detriment.
Regardless of the side on which you fall, whether it's politically mm-hmm. or socially, we can all find our own places that can confirm our biases and say, see, I'm right. It's really just, mm-hmm. I want to be right. I want so desperately to be right. And please mm-hmm. let me be right. And I'll go anywhere I can to be right. And I found this thing that made me right. I'm right.
Exactly. And I think what you end up happening is that you actually aren't right often. I mean, especially if you're talking about how the world really is. And a lot of that has to do with, do you have a sense of history? Do you understand where things used to be? Because if we're saying like something is bad or it's getting worse, we have to compare it to something else. And so, you know, we sort of, I think, forget in some ways how actually bad things used to be in very basic ways in this country, around the world, in the not too distant past. I mean, things as simple as like, how long did you live? You know, what was the chance of dying in violence? Were you getting a disease and dying of that? What were the levels of education? How common was democracy? I mean, all these things that, you know, go back 100 years, you have a world that if you looked at it through the eyes of now, you'd think, oof, this is bad. Like I could die of an infection because I don't have antibiotics. They haven't been invented yet. Same thing with a lot of vaccines. You know, much of the world was not remotely free. We've had social change, all these kind of things that happened. And something here is also like a bit of a baseline shift, because once a positive change happens, especially in the background, we kind of just take it for granted, stop appreciating it, and no longer take it into our calculations of how good the world is.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Brian. It really is. Yeah, we just accept that as the norm then, right? If something is good, then that's the baseline.
Yeah, and I would say it says something about when people are trying to, and talking about the history of it all, is taking that history and trying to disappear, to say, everything's fine now, it's never been bad, we're good, be appreciative, don't look backwards because that didn't exist, it's all a lie. It doesn't help us appreciate what we have.
We're going to continue our conversation with Brian Walsh from Vox.com. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, do a little cleansing collective breath, talk about sillier, lighter things. Good news. So we don't all crack up all the time. Our guest is Brian Walsh from Vox.com, and he has a great article called We're All Drawn to Bad News. Here is how to fight it. I guess, Brian, what you just heard, our little audio sorbet segment, that's one way that we try to fight it and find something amusing or lighthearted or silly to talk about for a change.
I think that's a great way to do it. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny, like I'm literally someone who has spent 24 or 5 years now as a professional journalist, and I've seen, you know, I mentioned social media, like in some ways, all of us are involved in the process of this now. And I have to say, maybe sometimes it's good to tune out. I mean, it's not exactly in my self-interest, I have to say.
Right.
And yet when you really think about it, I mean, you know, there's something weird about the fact that the news stays always the same. You know, what would I mean? Like there's always about the same amount of it. And while surely there are very important things that happen and less important things, I don't think people have to get really locked into everything all the time, especially if it has a really negative impact on their mood. I really think, like, even though it might make you think it's part of being a good citizen, it's good to step back. It's good to, you know, to encourage other parts of your life. You will be better off for it. So, you know, you could read less news, not on Vox.com, but otherwise definitely.
Ignore the other ones. Just subscribe to Vox. You include this statistic in your article, the fact that 3 million people flew in and out of U.S. airports and none of them died in an accident. That's not news. While a single crash most definitely is. Right. We don't hear that every day. Day 427 of no fatal crashes. We don't do that.
No, we don't. And that really falls down to the media. I mean, it's not something we report on. You know, the term, what is it, a dog bites man story?
Yes.
I mean, what that means basically is like, yeah, no kidding, that there's actually zero surprise in that. So why would I report on it? Well, we've now gotten to a point where the fact that planes are flying all the time, incredibly safe, is a dog bites man story. So why would you report on it? But there's a lot of other things like that, too. I think, you know, the fact that we've seen child mortality around the world declined so sharply over the last 25 years, the fact that we've seen, you know, global poverty fall as well. The fact that even here in this country, like we continue to see economic growth. I mean, it has a lot of imperfections, but it's a system that in some ways has been working better, I think, than we realize. But again, like we're not looking at the stuff that is just like 2% better, 2% better, 2% better every year. We're looking for the things that are surprising. Those are the things that get your attention. And often surprising and bad, that's like gold when it comes to getting eyeballs.
I think another thing too you spoke about when we came back was, you know, the taking in all of the information as much as, and the three of us, our business is being educated on what's going on in for us, Wisconsin and the world. For you, it's all over the world. But I think that also there's a cachet now that if you're not up to every single news story, you somehow can be seen as ill-informed when it's almost impossible because there's too much news. People have lives, and you should give yourself grace in saying, all right, here are the things that I believe in, or here are the things that I really want to be involved in. Be up to speed on that. But there's no special jacket you're given for knowing all the news all the time and having a nuanced opinion. So give yourself a little break on maybe not knowing some things, because it's okay. You can find it out, but it's not necessary to be cool.
You mean I'm not going to get a pin?
You'll get.
There's no pin involved.
I'll give you a pin. You keep on bringing up the pin.
All right, fine. Brian Walsh.
Maybe a tote bag of some sort.
A tote would
be. I love a good. You know what you put in tote bags?
I know. Poutine. I know too much news. Tote. That would be great. Brian Walsh, senior editorial director at Vox. We're talking about why we are so drawn to bad news. You are doing a good news column, Brian. What are some of the things we can look forward to about reading about on the good side of life?
Yes. Well, I mean, it really varies from, there's a lot I do that's in really amazing stories around medical research that you hear about, really exciting things and something like being able to gene edit infants to cure diseases. So I love to focus on that. I really love when I'm sort of doing something that's a bit of a narrative violation. So a piece I did a while back was on how violent crime around the U.S. was actually declining incredibly quickly in most places. In fact, in cities like Philadelphia, where I come from, it was on a track to be a record low. And then now we're seeing that globally as well. So I kind of mix and match between really interesting scientific advances I think people should know about that will actually improve their lives one day, and then sometimes bigger global ones. A piece I did most recently, I thought, frankly, was pretty interesting, was about washing machines and the fact that when you go back, like, again, about 100 years, when people said laundry day, they actually meant a whole day.
Yeah.
That's what you'd have to do.
Yeah. Like,
eating the water, doing the wash, putting it out there, so forth. added up to hours of work. Now, something like, I think 85% of Americans have a washing machine. The ones who don't probably have a laundromat. That's a lot of time you get back. It's almost like it's a time machine. And half of the world actually does not have that right now. They'd love to have those things. So it's stuff like that. I just want to say one other thing, which is, talk about the news. The kind of work that you two do is actually really important here, because one thing I think is that's helpful to get a better sense of the world is actually to pay more attention to what's happening in your local area. In fact, there's always this big division between, you might ask Americans like, is violent crime getting worse in the country? They'll say, yes, definitely. But if you ask them about their own town, mm-hmm. often they have a much more accurate picture of it.
Yeah.
And I think, one issue here is like, we've gotten so nationalized around our attention and media that gives us a much more warped impression of what's going on, whereas we do know and can know more about what's happening to our neighbors or our town, our cities. And I think we should pay more attention to that, actually.
Brian Walsh is the senior editorial director at Vox. You can find him and read his column about good news.
It will be in the show notes.
At Vox.com. Thank you so much for your time, Brian. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. News is next, and then Audio Sorbet. We're talking outside Christmas lights. That's coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from her studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to Brian Walsh from Vox.com for joining us. Very interesting conversation about what is it about us as humans that we're so attracted to bad news.
Yeah.
And it's a great conversation. If you weren't able to catch it, you can always go back to our website at civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on that. Go down to Matt Nair on Air. Click on that. Mm-hmm. And that will take you to an archive of about 2 months worth of previous programs. So listen to that conversation with Brian Walsh. It was pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
This is the portion of the program that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up. Get away from the news. We essentially
clean your ears with fun.
Here is today's Audio Sorbet question. It was a beautiful, beautiful Saturday, at least in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yep.
A lot of people were out raking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were out putting up those Christmas lights.
Yeah, they were.
Outside Christmas lights, it's a thing. They're here. Here is the question. Do you light them up now? Now that they're outside and they're all ready to go, do you light them up now, or do you wait until after Thanksgiving, which is next Thursday?
Yeah.
So it's not, you wouldn't have to wait that long. I saw a whole bunch of places all lit up when I drove in this morning. Some really impressive displays, actually.
Yeah, there are some areas around southeastern Wisconsin that have their own little, I think I actually live near a neighborhood that is called Christmas. It said Christmas Lane under their street sign, so I'm like,
a lot of pressure.
But I, I'm...
Well, you don't do lights.
I know. I think this year I'm going to try to do it. And I said I was going to do it last year. And then I said it the year before that. And then I think I said it the year before that. Is I just want to get some red and green lights for the outside lamps.
Perfect.
I don't want to get up on the roof and put up lights. Although I do... Okay, so really quick. I have a neighbor who does something really cool, and they have to be available. And if they are, I think I might buy them. They have permanent lights on their house that look like the same idea as Christmas lights.
Okay.
So they go along the
roof line,
and then the house line, and they change colors so they can have whatever they want.
So it could be orange for Halloween.
Exactly, and it's changeable, it seems. And that way, I would totally do something like that. That way you could have lights all the time, and you could do it for whatever you like, and I think that's a really neat idea.
That's
although
a great idea.
They look professionally installed because they're not hanging. They look attached, and that's when you lose me. As soon as I have to be on a ladder for more than 45 seconds to 90 seconds.
Not happening.
No, thank you.
You need to ask your neighbor.
I need to say hello, I'm your neighbor, because I've never talked to them.
That would be a good start. Yeah. Start there. Hello, I'm your neighbor. And by the way, how did you do that thing with the lights on your house?
Yeah, they also have a camper, so I feel like they have money. So I'm like, maybe it's like very expensive.
855-752-4842. The audio sorbet question for today. You got your outside lights up. Do you wait to light them up until after Thanksgiving? Are they on right now? 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer is on the line. Good morning, Brett. Thanks for joining us. What's your position on Christmas lights outside?
Good morning. I'm pretty staunch. I love Thanksgiving. We do the whole Thanksgiving. I cook the turkey and everything, but we will not put up any Christmas stuff until the next day.
Okay.
That's just the rule.
It's a rule. Sure.
Yeah. And don't need to rush it, but I love Thanksgiving so much.
Yeah.
At that, we have that first, then we look at Christmas.
What do you, okay, so I find this interesting because I know people who are big Halloween people. I know people who are big Christmas people, but I don't know really anyone who Thanksgiving is their holiday. What is it about Thanksgiving for you that you enjoy so much?
Well, first of all, I came from a pretty rough family.
Yeah.
We didn't have many good times except Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And my dad was a friend of a Dallas Cowboy.
Oh, wow.
Player. And so we got to know, my parents knew all the Cowboys, the great ones.
Mm-hmm.
So every Thanksgiving, the Cowboy game was a tradition.
Yeah.
And I passed that on to my family, you know, and it's just food, family, and football.
There you go.
No presents involved. Don't have to worry about that.
Right. And it doesn't matter. It's just getting together, enjoying a good meal. And I cooked the whole thing myself.
Wow.
Wow. Brett, what's on the menu then? So do you deep fry it or do you bake your turkey or roast your turkey?
I bake it in the oven.
Okay.
I stuff it with stuffing. You know, I use stovetop, but I do like add pork sausage, celery, onions, and, you know, we all have a biscuit, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, and, you know, sometimes we'll add corn on the cob, but over the years, we've got less people.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I don't make it so big anymore.
Right, right.
Brett, if I could give you one suggestion, throw some mac and cheese into that menu. It's going
to... And then we're all coming to your
game
house
changer.
In Brown Deer. Yeah. Yes, for Thanksgiving.
Bring some Pabst, you know.
There you go. See, that's what I love about Wisconsin. Yeah, just bring some beer.
Bring
a beer or some dish to pass, and you're good to go. Come on in.
So, appreciate it,
Brett.
Thank you so much. Christmas lights, outdoor Christmas lights, got them up. Now, do you light them or do you wait until after Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving's coming up next Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a week from Thursday. 855-752-4842. Greg on the live stream says, when it's 60 degrees in Green Bay on November 15th and the forecast goes down to the low 40s this week, you hang them. They came on at dusk. And the neighbor kids across the street love them. That's great.
That's awesome. Now, Jenny on the live stream, starting with some nice information, she says, it's my question about the lights that my neighbor has. She says, they're called spotlights, Greg. And then follows it up with, get with the program. It's like, bro, I'm trying to learn here. And you know, I'm not going to, fine, I don't want to do it anyway. It's fine. I wasn't going to do it now. But then also PJ says he has the Govee brand LED changing lights permanently installed.
Ooh.
Where he can use an app to change the color patterns, and he can find those, I guess, probably Best Buy, Walmart. I'm sure that Amazon sells them as well. But
I would think so.
There you go. That's something
pretty cool.
That's something, Jane, I will definitely talk about for the next 3 years and then finally do, because I just had nothing to do and I got really, really bored, and I did it really, like, went really hard into the paint on a Sunday.
Now Bridget knows what to get you for Christmas.
No, do not buy me a chore for Christmas.
855-752-4842. Outside Christmas lights, you got them up this weekend. Now, do you light them or do you wait until after Thanksgiving?
Mm.
Also, Jenny on the live stream, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. It's all about food, the common human denominator.
Yeah.
That, and it's not required to celebrate with anyone you love.
I mean, she's
not just family, or you can celebrate with anyone you love. It doesn't have to just be family.
Exactly. Friendsgivings. I'm really, I don't know about you, Jane, but this is what I've been pushing for low key for years. all apps Thanksgiving.
I love that idea.
Like, you can have turkey, but you don't have to make it in the grand
traditional sense.
Yeah, because my family, I don't know about you, but my family just gets stuffed on appetizers before that, and then everyone has a plate, and then they're, now, I'm not complaining about leftovers, but then no one takes leftovers home.
Oh, that's a, and then you're left with all this food.
Exactly. So I just feel like you just eliminate some of the process, really fine apps, buffet style.
What would be your app? What would be the layout, the spread then?
Well,
of apps, what would be included?
You'd start with your good old fashioned, you know, you got some chips and salt. Maybe some chips and guacamole.
Okay.
You can get some
cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers. Veggie and hummus dip.
Okay.
That's the basic stuff.
Yep.
Then you can create some, and you can use traditional
flavors.
Thanksgiving items. Maybe have like, you know, turkey, like small turkey sliders or something like that. You can still do all that stuff, but it's much smaller, easier to clean. I don't have to carve a turkey and then clean a turkey and then destroy a turkey body every year. Because one year someone, and this is, by the way, when I was vegan, someone just said, you carve the turkey. I said,
I don't know how.
No. And I've slowly been teaching myself because I only do it once a year because we only have turkey like that once a year. So, yeah, I just think an all sides Thanksgiving, as Jenny put it, it'd be really fun to try.
I like that idea.
Now, I dare you to bring that up to my mother-in-law.
She would be very anti.
It's very much there is a turkey in the oven. There's stuffing. We will have the pomp and circumstance. And it's fine. I'm fine. It's her house. She provides the domicile. We do the work. So I'm not going to say boo.
Right.
But just, I want to try one year.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK for the All Sides Thanksgiving Buffalo Chicken Dip.
Oh, see,
you could just do dips. You could have a whole thing just of different dips.
You're speaking my language right now. Sorry. I'm sorry. I once again sidetracked us here. Now, Jane, what about you? Are the lights going up? Do you do lights? Are you?
I didn't get to them this weekend. And when we first bought our house 24 years ago, mm-hmm. I used to go crazy.
To really? The point, really?
I would. Yes. But I went crazy with lights.
So do you go crazy every season or is it just Christmas that you would
No, it was just Christmas.
Okay.
We don't do Halloween. We don't do other things, but it was to the point where I had so many outside lights on when we would have a Christmas party like a couple weeks later. If you use the microwave, we would blow a circuit. So I actually have outside outlets now.
Nice.
I had outside outlets installed so I wouldn't be blowing circuits all the time. Because, yeah, I had a lot of lights.
We need more power.
More lights. Now I keep it to, I have one big light up snowflake.
Yeah.
And then I have a couple, and I'll call it, they're tree balls.
Tree balls?
They're tree balls, essentially. They're sparkly, you know, and then I hang up the tree balls and that's where I'm done.
Please say tree balls more.
Tree balls. That's what they are.
What do you got here? I got one, two tree balls here. I got a bunch of them for Christmas. I'm here to deliver your tree balls. I think, actually, the more we talk about it, I think today I'm going to go to the hardware store. I just find any reason to go to the hardware store now.
Do you just love that?
I'm a 40, almost 8-year-old man who just, if I can go to the hardware store, not only do I go to the hardware store, Jane, I announce it to people like, hey, honey, I'll be a little bit late heading to the hardware store.
Could be hours.
I think I'm going to buy some red and green lights and I'm going to put those in the lamps. And maybe something for the backyard too. Who knows? But simple.
Keep it simple.
Very, very simple.
It's all right.
And then I'll turn them on whenever I want.
No wrong answer. We're just kicking it around.
There is a wrong answer, though. I will say this really quick. Corn casserole, green bean casserole, those are foodstuffs of Satan himself.
Green bean casserole is a classic. How dare you cast aspersions.
Do you know what else is a classic? Do you know what else is the classic? Chicken pox. I don't want them either. No, I don't like corn because it's never just corn. It's cream corn, and cream corn is terrible.
Cream corn is bad.
Good, Tony on live stream. Goodbye, Greg.
That's fine.
And green beans just don't do it for me. And I just say this, more for you then.
There you go. Exactly. All sides Thanksgiving, though. I think that's a menu we're going to have to put
really,
together.
Really, really pushing for that someday.
I like that idea a lot. All right, when we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Houston, we have a problem edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. He will join us after the 9:30 news.
Kreitlow on the Kreit Show?
Sure.
I'm going to keep saying it until it's a thing.
Okay. Keep.
I'm going to keep saying it.
Try and make Fetch a thing.
Thank you.
Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be joining us in studio. Holiday Folk Fair going to be happening in Milwaukee. It's really a great event. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity to eat food from all over the world. It's so good.
I remember going to it as a kid.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was one of our school trips.
It's just really cool.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
They have dance performances and all kinds of stuff. My sister and I went last year, had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair is going to be here in hour number two for Audio Sorbet. So I hope you can join us for that tomorrow. Right now, though, it is 10:54 Kelvin. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you find a thing you think this should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This from CNBC, Dan Mangan, with the headline that reads, Woman pleads guilty to lying about astronaut wife accessing bank account from space station.
Well, folks, have
there's
a good day.
A lot to take in with that headline.
There's a lot of words in that one.
A former Air Force intelligence officer pled guilty to lying to federal authorities by claiming her estranged astronaut wife illegally accessed her bank account while on board the International Space Station. Summer Warden of Kansas was indicted in 2020, which involved her false allegations against Anne McClain, who was in the U.S. Army. Warden, who lives in Kansas, was accused of making false statements about this astronaut to NASA. A former Air Force intelligence officer pled guilty to lying, saying that her estranged astronaut wife illegally accessed her bank account while on the space station for 6 months. Now that's some international banking.
That's international.
I don't think my bank even does overseas.
You can only find.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't do the ISS.
You can only find that with BMO. BMO, bank everywhere. We're not paid by any banks. I thought it was like she went to like the International Space Station ATM.
And do just they waved. Have one up there?
I'm thinking. I mean, I
love
imagine,
that idea.
Wave their glove over it, and it's like, how much would you like to take out today?
And where would you spend it?
Where would you put it, honestly, on that suit?
That's true.
Exactly. Just
pockets.
Cash floating through the air.
The claim came at a time when the couple were having a custody battle over their 6-year-old son. The trial was set to begin in Houston, but apparently it has been settled.
Yeah.
The investigation revealed Warden had given her spouse access to her bank records, including logins, at the time of the alleged illegal access from the space station. McClain was preparing for the first all-female spacewalk, which later had to get scrapped because, and I remember this, under the Trump administration, they didn't have enough spacesuits to fit the women.
Audio survey, everybody. Also, can you imagine, like, you're in space? That'd be amazing.
For 6 months.
You could also listen to us in space, by the way. Civic Media app. It's free. Download it today. Listen to us in space. And all of a sudden, you just feel a buzzing in your pocket. and you can't get to your pocket. You're like, right. What's going on? It's just someone making a withdrawal on your account.
Is this you?
Is this you? And you're like, my fingerprint won't work with this big chunky glove on.
Yeah, I got to take the gloves off. Apparently, again, this has been settled.
Thank goodness.
No truth to the claims. Warden is still free on bond. She will be sentenced February 12th, making a possible maximum of 5 years in prison.
Dang.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you.
No one can hear you break the law in space.
I know, right? That was a nice try.
Yeah.
You got to give her credit for creativity.
There you go.
If nothing else. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the tiniest little bit.
The tiniest?
Tiniest little bit.
Ooh.
And you have the chance to share it. It's a good thing. It's good for all of us. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next across the network. Have a wonderful Monday. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.